everybody. Stephanie always breaks the microphone 10 seconds before we go on.
Every time.
Every time. And then she'll say nothing for the rest of the show.
That's because it's broke.
I think you're broke.
Wow.
I am broke.
I don't want to start the show off on a negative
seriously, let's get the
vibe.
Energy.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Call Sheet with Keith Coogan. Keith is traveling the world. In fact, we have an exclusive report in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I would like to reintroduce everybody in the room right now, in the old studio. Not the sleeping homeless man on the floor, because he doesn't have a mic. Oh, that's Peter.
Yes.
Peter, wake up. Wake Peter up. We're starting the show. Improv, folks. So let's start at the end of the table. Visualize everybody a table and a big plate of fruit. I don't know where I'm going. From the Universal Studios Hollywood, a big wig over there, and from the movie Holes, go rent it and return it because he was cut out of it.
True.
Everybody, let's hear for Robert Armour.
Thank you.
Sitting next to Robert. Is the lovely, the talented, the beautiful singing voice, Peter Miller.
So nice to be back here with you, John.
All right. We'll do our special guest in a minute. Let's say hello to Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, there it is, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, and Mindy is in the booth, and Mindy is awesome.
Hi, guys. You're doing great. Thanks, Mindy.
Daily affirmation.
Mindy doesn't need prompts.
We are 1 minute in. That's a good thing.
Robert is keeping track of the clock tonight go over, and we have no time to plug everything.
Hey, mostly just my stuff.
Peter, go ahead and turn off that light in the lobby. It's bothering me.
I'll be right back there, right. Boss.
Okay, he's not going to go. Let's introduce our special guest tonight. She is absolutely hilarious. One of my favorite people in the world. Mindy is running into the lobby and turn off the light. Now it's so dark, she just tripped over an ottoman.
And there's the show.
Anyway, let's get back to our special guest. She,
please.
Yeah. There she is. Sorry, I get distracted. I saw something shiny. She's an author. She has a great blog. And the blog is Impudent Ways.
Yes.
And my blog is
With a blog.
Yes. I have a blog.
My favorite blog.
No, I don't have a blog. Ladies and gentlemen.
Also a Jane Austen reference, I understand.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elizabeth Hanks.
Thank you, everybody.
So honored
to
have you here.
I'm so pleased to be here.
My gosh.
I want to talk low. Is that inappropriate?
I wish you would. But
is it that kind of show?
Peter shouldn't be sitting so
low
close to you if you're going to
wonderful.
Do that.
Thank you, Mindy.
Just make sure you talk
Mindy,
really close to these microphones.
Yeah. Should I get it closer to my face?
Yeah, then okay. I can make your low voice sound delicious.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. Tasty.
Wow. John, you didn't tell me it was this kind of show.
Tasty Hanks.
Of all the Hankses out there, I am. It's very funny. I'm known as the tastiest.
Tasty.
Unverified on Twitter, but the tastiest.
The Six Spice Girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
that's me.
Your last name, obviously, Hanks, you are obviously the daughter of?
Of a famous 49er football player, Merton Hanks. Yes.
49ers.
Yes, that's me.
Go Niners.
That's exactly what I was going
almost
to say.
Won.
Yes.
You must have been to a lot of football games as a child.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone assumes I'm going to be a football player. It's the great burden in my life that everyone just sort of assumes that they know me and what I'm going to be like because my father is Merton Hanks from the 49ers.
Expectations are just way too high set on your young age.
Yeah, it's true. It's very difficult.
Merton and Tasty Hanks.
Resemblance is striking.
It is, isn't it? I have his shoulders.
That was funny to me.
Thank you.
Just hit her low. That's where you want to go. When you see her in an alley, just go low.
Yeah.
Because that's where Peter hangs out in alleys. He knows.
It's where you find the best meals, John.
Wow.
It's where you find the best meals.
That's
so many discarded quality meals.
Peter, how much did you have to pay for parking tonight? Because I've never heard we're in the bathroom in doing our business. Not together.
John.
Not like that. But he's like, parking was $7. They raised it
parking.
By $2.
$2. I thought I was a genius. I had the lot, the $5 lot. I think we talked about this on the first show. And now, when I pulled in,
more.
Of course me, I'm like, oh, you raised the parking $2, huh?
Who's the parking attendant? Is it?
No, that was me saying that.
Oh.
I was questioning.
You're really Jewish.
I was questioning him. You know, I had the extra $2 in my hand. I'm like,
Well, listen, I'm glad you're
handed
here.
It over.
I'm glad
just
they
for you,
let
John.
You park your go kart.
Oh God,
such an expensive.
You know, it's a Razor scooter.
Elizabeth parked 4 hours away in Hackensack, New Jersey. It's more than 4 hours, Hackensack.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
but
quite
you were quite a jog from here. We well, got you here.
Well, I wanted to look my, you know, most attractive for radio.
Yes.
And yeah. Nothing like a good sweat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have parking anxiety, it's true.
Parking anxiety.
I park far away because I never think I'm going to be lucky enough to park close. I feel, and then I park too far away, then I get worried because I'm too far away. I have distance anxiety.
Have you ever been just right with your parking?
No, never. Never in my life, not about anything.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you're too close, that means there's a problem.
It's are we talking illegal, in my illegal. My personal life or my parking lot?
We're getting really
or to this
involved.
Microphone? All of these.
Closer,
across
please,
the board,
listen.
Yes.
Sorry,
just across
Elizabeth.
The board. I'm always too close.
Sorry about Stephanie. I don't know where she got all this gumption to talk about.
No, I think she's excited. Yeah, $1.50 vodka.
It was $2.49.
That's not because it's a small amount, listeners.
It's medicinal.
It's a medium amount in a regular size bottle, and yet it's...
It was cost $2.49.
$2.49. Is that the actual amount?
I think it was actually cheaper than
the Pepsi. That's the hobo special right there.
That's the downtown Los Angeles special.
There it is,
wow.
Right there.
And I say that having worked in downtown Los Angeles for about a year and a half.
Let's
Skid Row Studios.
Not on this radio show, I should hasten to add.
But funny enough, there is an opening.
Really?
We've got an opening here. Why not?
Do you just mean that empty chair just, over there because you didn't have enough friends to fill it?
Yeah.
Is that the chair?
Well, listen,
there.
On that
you
note,
went there.
We have to discuss. We do this every week because everybody wants to know, where is Keith Coogan?
And now, where's Keith?
Elizabeth,
where is he? Yes.
You mentioned earlier, and I don't want to make you blush, but you're a fan of Keith Coogan.
Yes. When I was young, I had a moment with Keith Coogan. When he became Kenneth... When he went underwent the physical transformation from going from Ken or Kenny to Kenneth in Don't Tell Mom.
That was
a special time. He cooked.
Yeah.
He cleaned. Yeah.
The perfect man.
Yeah, pretty much.
He doesn't do that in his normal life.
No, because I'm looking around the studio. And I can't.
Not so much.
No, not at all.
Well, every week, Keith has been somewhere in the world. I find this fascinating. He said, I'm leaving for a month, take over, and here I am. Here we are.
Yep.
He not only has he met with the Dalai Lama.
Amazing.
Last week, or the week before, rather, he was with Kim Jong-un trying to fix up everything that, what's that guy did?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, three on three,
you know.
Right.
Lots of pictures.
Menage a trois.
This week, I found out, I got a message from him and a disc, a recording, and come to find out, and we can talk about this now, is everybody familiar with the new Pope, Pope Francis?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's my favorite one of all.
Is he? All right.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about popes, I'm talking about people named Francis.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there is a Pope Francis now, and I gotta say, Keith had a part in that, and that's where he was. I don't know how he's doing this. Apparently, the cardinals who elect the Pope, they do a thing called conclave. I'm a big fan of Dan Brown. I read all this shit.
Oh, boy.
There was a big conclave, and what happens is all these cardinals go into is it the Sistine Chapel, Elizabeth?
Sure.
Are you asking because Merton Hanks played in the
no,
was in a game that was shot inside
Because I know you know about this stuff, and I'm just trying to
The conclave takes place in the Sistine Chapel, and it takes as many votes as it takes to get a certain percentage.
Right. They put
and
they
when
put
they
a
decide,
name.
They change the black smoke to white smoke.
Right. They blow smoke out of a chimney
and then
for the world to see.
They roll the 12-sided dice.
Yeah, they put a name in a Pope hat.
Yeah.
Well, Keith was invited. Apparently, the Cardinals are big fans of Keith Coogan. He's the honorary Cardinal Coogan.
Oh.
Just for the special, because they were in a rush. They needed somebody who knows the Dalai Lama, who fixed problems with Kim Jong-un. They wanted a man who knew what he was doing. Keith actually smuggled in a microphone inside of his Cardinal Coogan hat. They're not going to frisk a cardinal. They're not going to frisk Keith.
But the weird thing was, it was like a 1980s like tape home video camera that he had.
No, this is actually
huge.
Just audio. We didn't get the tape.
Oh.
And this is the longest intro of anything. Why don't you play back the tape of how Keith Coogan got the Pope nominated, or got the Pope Francis in office.
Dishes are done. Good shit.
Mother of God. The smoke is going up the chimney.
Oh, no! They're going to think we chose somebody. Carmel Coogan!
Yeah, stop now, Rita, because we are seeing smoke coming out of the chimney, and it is... It wow. seems to be...
So, Keith...
It's gray, but possibly...
Inadvertently
no, it looks white.
Shows... The car, like, they had to pick fast.
Wow. Yeah.
They had to pick fast.
Can I just say for the record,
yes.
of the 12 people who are listening to this show, if one of you happens to be a fairly conservative big fan of my father, Merton Hanks, football player, and you've suddenly taken massive offense, I had nothing to do with
it. Oh, my gosh. Should you have listened to that, the Keith's recording?
No, it was upsetting.
That was just, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry you had to take a part of that.
This is,
shame,
well,
Keith.
Let's be honest. I didn't really understand what the funny was about because I am an innocent young lady with impeccable manners.
Yes.
Man.
Listen, I just wanted to do a bit.
Feel like a real radio show.
That was good.
I want to be the next, you know, Howard Stern's ugly, less talented brother.
Right.
And that's all I wanted to do.
I love that none of them had
Ricky
accents.
Stern.
None of them had accents. Like, they were from New York. It was awesome.
Very little effort.
I liked it. It was great.
Not everybody has an accent.
Right. That's I've heard.
I don't know. Just saying.
Have you been to Rome?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then
John's a world traveler.
Right. Yeah. I know.
I actually saw one of Merton's games in Rome.
I was going to say, I think the 49ers played there.
He's been to every movie theater in all of Europe.
Yeah.
He's been to every single movie theater.
The funny
thing is,
nobody laughed in the studio at that whole bit. I'm like, crap.
This did not go well.
I am sweating horribly.
No,
and Liz is like, wait a minute. The pup is listening.
It's all about laughing inside. I was laughing inside.
That took us 8 minutes to do that. So I'm just
saying. I couldn't tell.
It was a lunch break.
That's all? 8 minutes?
It might have been 10.
Oh,
Elizabeth, you have a handle on Twitter. I do.
It's E.A. Hanks.
E.A. Hanks.
That is my handle.
Why is it E.A. Hanks?
As opposed to Elizabeth.
My actual
name. It's E.A. Hanks because of Google. Google is because of everything. If you just Google Elizabeth Hanks, you get 35 pages of the movie Big, which is interesting because Merton Hanks is not in that film at all. But it's because Google algorithms pick up Elizabeth Perkins and Hanks, and then
Merton.
And it messes me. Yes, Merton.
I thought it was an EA Sports thing.
No.
49.
Well, yes, yeah. There's that too. That is very true. I like how you say that to me as you're pouring more vodka into your teacup.
That's a very nice story.
Two cents of five
Hanks vodka.
Hanks vodka. It's true. I do make vodka.
Now,
for
people who may not
know about Impudent Ways, your blog, I have, of course, been a fan of it for a few years.
You're lovely.
Yep, it's awesome. What are some of the things you talk about? I've noticed you talk a lot about, it's not graffiti, street art.
You're
a big fan of street art.
Yeah, I'm interested in it.
Why is that? What intrigues you about street art? What got you interested?
Street art is fascinating because it gives people agency with their space. I mean, you know, we're in downtown Los Angeles. There's a great... You don't know what that means, do you?
I'm listening.
Agency with your space.
You might have seen a blank look in my face. I'm just noticing that Pete combed his hair tonight.
Yeah,
I took my hat off.
That's performance art,
I took my
actually.
Head off.
No, street art is interesting. There's a lot of great street art in downtown. Street art's fascinating because it's people in social spaces interacting... with the space around them. So if someone sees an ad and they don't care for it and they want to mark it up, they interact with it. So instead of someone just saying, like, hey, buy this thing, they can make it a piece of art and negate its purpose, which is to sell us stuff we don't need.
Hmm.
It got real in here.
It got real.
It did. It's...
No, so that's why I think it's interesting. And some of it's pretty, and some of it's perverse, and some of it's dumb, and some of it's funny, and like all art.
Now,
there's a lot of street art in my neighborhood.
Well, you do live in Skid Row, Stephanie.
Yeah, other Skid Row.
Stephanie, in her purse is a can of spray paint and a weapon, mace.
I actually have a taser. This isn't a true story. My father bought me a taser for Christmas. Wow.
That's amazing. You're like a Darcy and Thor.
Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Go get him, Marvel fans.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're really talkative tonight.
I'll drink some more.
No, I'm excited. I would like to say to listeners that I was told emphatically that Stephanie would not be speaking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm thrilled.
I'm
taking all the credit.
By the way, EA, by the way, she did that whole bit a few minutes ago with the Vatican. That was Stephanie's idea.
Well, there you go. I thought I had a low voice. You have a low voice.
Let's have
Don't pin that on me. How close do you want, Murph?
Well, no, you're like leaning in like you're, you don't want to burn yourself over the burners or something. I don't know what that means. If there was a stove here, I guess that's what would happen.
Stephanie, take the microphone out of your mouth. For the love of God.
She really is. Okay.
Yes.
Back onto street art.
Yes, you also,
I found this, I read this, and I think you told me about it a year ago when you did this. You interviewed Hanksy.
Yes, the street artist known as Hanksy.
Now, he paints pictures of Merton.
Yeah, he, well, not necessarily Merton. That other guy, I can't.
Yeah.
I believe he does Rick Moranis a lot of.
He does do Rick Moranis. He started off doing pictures of that guy.
Yeah.
Putting his face onto Banksy's rats and calling, and that's where he came up with Hanksy. And
the king of the street.
Yeah, exactly. And it was such that everyone started sending me these photos. Everyone, like, I could not get away from them, and everyone would send it to me like, "I bet you haven't seen this yet." Yeah. Isn't this clever?
Describe some of the photos. I mean, there is literally a Banksy rat that he put this person, this Hanks character, his face on it. Little things like that.
Yeah, I put my father's face on Banksy's rats and kind of put them around New York City in the Lower East Side, and then he started mixing them up. So he would take kind of iconic Banksy pieces and then put my dad's face on them.
Yeah.
And because I had started interviewing other artists, I thought, what are the chances I could actually track this person down? And I did, and I wrote him the strangest email of my life, and it started off, I think the first sentence was, "Hello, you put my dad's face on Banksy's rats. I'd like to talk to you about that." And he was nice. That was fun because I got to interview him and we talked a long time. And I asked him, what's the strangest thing that has happened to you because of this? Because he had just started to get really popular. Mm-hmm. And he's at this, talking to you.
Oh, so he knew you. I was under the impression when you told this to me, and maybe I was doing something else at the time and got distracted, that he didn't know you were his daughter.
No, he did.
He did the whole time.
Yeah,
okay.
But we I said, we're not going to talk on the inside loop. We're just going to talk about your art, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. That was fun.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and he's a good friend. I should say that I will plug that Hanksy has a show coming to Los Angeles at the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
that's
really cool. It's on Melrose. It's a little gallery. I'm blanking on the name. I'm sorry, gallery, but it's on Melrose in La Brea. And if you go, he has a huge piece on there, and it's called "Cage Against the Machine."
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And it's Nick Cage writing the machine from Terminator.
I love it.
Awesome.
He's really nailed that up. Pun art, street art,
well, it's kind of like,
market.
It's like exit through like the wings, right?
Yeah,
it's
going to
be like his documentary.
Yeah.
What I've seen of his work.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The Brick Moranis, I thought was one of the
Brick
most
Moranis. There is a Brick Moranis.
Yeah. Brick Moranis, which I believe is in my hometown, Chicago.
Because you lost me when you said that. I'm like, I don't know what Peter's talking. He's babbling again.
To bring it all back together, he just did a piece the night that Pope Francis was king, crowned, chosen.
Kinged.
Prom queen? I don't know how.
Prom queen.
He did a piece that was Roman Catholic Bale, and it was Christian Bale's face wearing the popish hat.
It's got a very like garbage pail kids kind of a sense to it. It's almost just doing a nice little twist on it. Or what were those? What were the great trading cards in the 80s with the fake advertisements on it?
Oh, I don't know.
That was
them.
Garbage pail. Right?
I just ate the gum.
Oh, I know you're talking.
Yeah, like the the fake Brillo pads, and like crust, and it would be like the Crest.
I don't know.
Toothpaste.
Wow. No,
if you know, call in.
Bazooka?
Yes, let's plug the number.
I'm going to do that now. Since we shut Stephanie up. The number is 1-800. See, you give her a mic.
It's the most we've gotten out of her ever.
Stephanie, hit that red lit up button. I think your mic is off. 1-800-893-9393. 9562. If you'd like to ask a question for our guest, E.A.
Question.
Hanks or Merton, is it, or, and even Scores. I don't know.
That took a turn.
I don't know any what that means. 893-9562. It's free. It's you don't have to pay. No one's going to take your credit card number. It's all good.
Well, I might.
You might.
Unless you want. This isn't my show.
We'll order a pizza if we get a credit card number.
Yeah.
So, boy, I have a whole list of things I wanted to ask you.
Oh, my
tonight.
Goodness.
Well, you have a book coming out.
I'm
currently I have a book that I am working on that is slated to come out in the future. I will say that.
What kind of book are we looking at? Can you tell us? Can you give us a little hint?
Yeah, it's a children's novel about a young girl who gets drafted in a war between good and evil librarians.
That's perfect for John.
Robert, I think you're talking too much.
I think John requires too many sparkly vampires and
werewolves. No, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue, EA.
John's more of a pop-up book kind of guy, so... Wow, that got weird.
But it's good.
I'm giving him the evil eye.
I enjoy pop-up books.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a young niece, and I buy her books. I'm that relative who buys books for everyone at Christmas,
the best
and they
gifts.
All have gotten tired of pretending that it's not annoying to them. They are done with it.
There's only so many times they can read War and Peace.
There was, I will say that I was, first of all, War and Peace is
thanks, Robert, for that courtesy.
Really good. Really good.
I think she's a little too young to read that,
there
though.
Was a year that I bought everyone Cloud Atlas for Christmas.
Oh, my God, what a great segue. She just gave it to me.
I'm a professional.
You are awesome. Now, you loved the
back
book.
In the day, before there was a script for it, I bought it for everyone.
You bought
so
the book
I'm
for everybody.
Taking credit.
You it was all you.
You should take credit.
I'm taking credit from a film that I had nothing to do with.
But
really,
when you saw the
we
film.
You did a hell of a job
yeah,
with it.
Thank
no,
you.
When you saw the film.
It was hard doing nothing.
We have a call. We're going to take it in 1 second.
Oh, my goodness.
Should we just take the call? Let's take the call.
Please be a nice person.
Hey, everybody, nice person. Who are you?
Hi, I just wanted to confirm about the pop-up book. It's John's sister.
Oh, it's my sister, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
You met E.A. Hanks at the Cloud Atlas premiere with Merton.
I did. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Jessica. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about your book.
Oh, thank you very much. It's glad that I'm one person is. I'm thrilled.
Jessica is a wonderful actress.
Is it a pop-up book?
Not yet, but after this.
You might have to.
After this.
Jessica went to the premiere of Cloud Atlas with us, and she loves the movie, too. And we're trying to figure out why do you think America didn't embrace it? Do you think just because maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's a complicated and it's not an easy film. But I think it's going to be like Blade Runner. No one remembers that when Blade Runner came out, it was a huge flop. People didn't understand it. And then about, 5 years later, people were writing papers about it. And then it was redone and everyone sees that it's a weird, awesome film. And I think at some point, someone's going to write something that points out how awesome it was. I love that film. I've seen it 5 times. I bought extra tickets every time I went just to try and make a little it's like, at this one theater, 17 people saw it in one day.
But concession sales are really low. What's the deal?
Exactly. I love that movie. Every time I see that movie, I see something new and beautiful and interesting, like how the color yellow in the sweatshop that Hallie is running through when they're running away from the hitman. It's the same color yellow as the chairs in the futuristic dining McDonald's.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah. Or when you go.
Oh, I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, there's the design of the book cover that the book publisher is glancing at in the background is the same design that you see on the buildings in new Neo Soul.
You must have seen the HD version. I was watching the 35 millimeter. I don't know what I didn't notice that, but I
wasn't staring at Duna Bay the entire time.
Oh, well. Yeah, well. Some of us were looking at Jim Sturgis.
That is true. I declined being introduced to him because he is too attractive.
I didn't like him.
Oh! Jessica,
Jessica's out.
Wow, she met him at the party. She likes him. Oh, Jessica,
no,
you know.
What if he's listening to this? He's a nice guy, whatever, but I wasn't.
Jim Sturgis.
Seems like a nice guy. Jeez, I'm so sorry, Jim.
Robert met
Jim,
him, Jessica.
Come over here. I'll make you feel better.
I did.
We played ping pong with him. He's a great guy. He's a nice guy. Stephanie had dinner with him. Come on, he's a nice guy.
I didn't buy him shoes once.
He didn't split the check or he didn't like pay for everything, but he's still a nice guy.
He didn't let me win.
No, he played. No, he's not. Yeah, he's a good ping pong player.
In fact, I think he said he took your watch. At the end.
I did. Yeah, I had to get a new watch.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Okay. Anyway, Jessica.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Next time, don't say you're my sister. Say, hey, it's Susan from St. George. Don't okay. Identify yourself because it makes it look like we have more callers.
I didn't want to. It was like awkward with the pop-up book. I didn't want to.
That's a good sister. That's a good sister who fills a failing bit.
Hi, everybody.
That's a good sister who fills a failing bit. That's good.
Jessica, I love you. Go to bed. It's late there in New York.
Bye, Susan.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you.
Love you. We love you. We miss you.
Jessica gets very close to people. Very close to people.
I mean, I thought we had a connection.
Yeah, well, now you do. But I think the movie is underrated, and apparently it's doing well in Europe, which is good.
Yeah, it's very big in Russia.
Well, yeah, that's good to hear because apparently, I mean, you go to movies here, people are on their cell phone all the time and well, wait for the video. Will they get home? That's not a movie you can watch with three kids running around or dinners, you know, on the oven or I don't know where I'm going.
No.
Just distractions.
I like that.
So you thought the book did the movie or vice versa?
I think the book is a pretty, I think it's a little grim in a beautiful sort of way. I think it talks about humanity in pretty stark terms. And I think the movie is actually a much more optimistic glasses half full sort of thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
It was good.
and I was pretty good in it too.
Halle Berry's hot. Oh yeah. And dulcet tones of John Donahue.
Well, they were cut out, but you did see me.
Twice.
It was free food that day.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, you were in a film called Forrest Gump.
I was.
You were the mean schoolgirl on the bus.
On a bus, yes. That's me. That's me.
Describe that day.
Nice.
That day. Well, that was one of those things where we were living in Buford, South Carolina. Beaufort or Buford, I can't remember.
I prefer Buford.
Excuse me.
When I vacation there.
Yes, Buford, South Carolina. And I was just a kid running around. There was nothing really for me to do because it's Buford, South Carolina. Although I did learn how to crab. And how to shrimp.
Wow.
And I got my first tick that summer. And I saw Apocalypse Now for the first time. I was 10 years old. I was goofing around in my bedroom. Ooh, yeah. And I walk out and Merton and Robert Zemeckis are about to watch it as a reference for Vietnam because they're about to start shooting all the Vietnam stuff. And then my dad goes, hey, you should watch this. It's a really important film. And I'm 10. So I go, okay, Dad. My dad tells me to do something. I do it.
Crazy Merton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then right about the time they cleave an ox in half.
That's my favorite part.
Great scene for a 10-year-old.
Second thought.
So it made me want to be in films. No. I was bored and someone said, yeah, do you want to be in this bus? And I said, yeah, sure. And Dad said, okay, well, you're going to be in there for 3 days. And there's no air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And you will not be getting paid, unlike the other children.
Hollywood.
So I said, yeah, of course. And so that's me. That is my best work to date on the screen. It's pretty much my only work to date on the screen.
No, actually.
Someone has the IMDb.
You're in a film called That Thing You Do. You're a bored girl in dress shop.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Now, were you mean?
I'm bad.
You're mean. I was going to say, are you mean again?
No, I'm bored. I'm bored.
Nailed it.
Method.
Now, when you were young, obviously growing up on film sets, you met some great people.
Yes.
And one of my favorite people that works with Merle is Merle. Okay, that is Danny Strepak.
This guy,
my only film I worked with him on was Lady Killers.
Yeah,
and
he's a makeup artist.
He's a makeup artist. He was one of the makeup artists today still look up to Danny Strepak.
Yeah, he's a visionary.
He is. He literally worked on Planet of the Apes. Mm. He worked for Elvis.
Yeah, he put on Elvis's tan.
Mm. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not
his fat suit.
All this amazement you're hearing is that people are amazed to hear that Elvis was not actually that tan.
Mm.
Pasty.
Stephanie just passed out. Thank God.
Those
Thank God.
Spray tan.
Yeah.
Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
In the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Worked on...
Wasn't so magnificent before Danny got there.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm a big Steve McQueen fan.
So it was just
fan.
Seven? Yeah. I'm sorry.
When he's sober.
It's just
when
seven.
He was
it's
sober.
Just seven, yeah.
And then
just
Danny
seven.
Got there, and it was
I think you told me a story a while ago, and when you and your brother Colin, another... he was a fine actor. Mm-hmm. I love Dexter.
Thank you. He's very good.
So happy he was on Dexter. What a great show. Back to this.
Yes.
You guys went to some film sets. Obviously, you grew up around film sets.
In summers.
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't there a story where Danny Strepek gave you guys some makeup?
Yeah. So, my brother and I grew up in Sacramento with our mom, and in the summers we would spend time with my dad on sets, and we just kind of grew up around the community that pops up on a show. And Danny saw Colin and I guess we must have been really bored, and it was a night shoot, I remember. And Danny said, you want to come back to the truck?
And watch Apocalypse Now.
I've got some fake ears I think would look great on you. He said, you know, let me show you what I can do, because I didn't really understand what he could do. And as a kid, I just thought he was like a really nice old man who would make me hot chocolate. I didn't understand that he had a job.
That's not creepy at all.
Not at all. And so he ended up putting me in the chair, and he, just to, you know, have something for me to do, he covered me in prosthetic bee stings, like head to toe. I looked terrifying. And then Colin, he put a bullet hole in Colin's noggin, another thing. I don't know why people talk about Hollywood as a bad place for children, but or inappropriate
great
for
environment.
Children. But it was great. And I walked around, you know, because I'm really young. This is for the burbs. I'm so young. And I thought everyone must have been so sure that I was actually covered in bee stings.
It's amazing.
And Colin was actually shot
in the head.
Why is nobody worried about this?
I know. It's so upsetting.
I mean, one's going to die.
Those days. Damn Hank's kid.
Yes, exactly.
Did you go home like that?
No, I think we got.
Yeah, listen to the teachers calling from school. Yeah, the kids for these class pictures.
Yeah, my mom could not have been pleased with that. I remember there was the first thing my dad ever directed was an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Loved it.
Oh, yes.
Keith Coogan was on an episode of Tales from the Crypt along with Will Wheaton.
Two degrees of separation.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, go ahead.
And I think it's the one with my mother from another mother, Miss Rita Wilson, and she played like a demon who ate men or something like that. And he needed a sound effect for the noise of these demons eating, so he brought me into the ADR and just had me make the like vicious screaming animal noises I would make when Colin and I fought, and then just recorded. And that's the first thing. I don't know if that's awesome. On my horribly depressing IMDb
it
page.
It is.
But we can add it now. I'm sure it's happening right. Someone somewhere
I'm
is
actually,
editing it right now.
I'm Googling. No, I can't Google it.
Yeah, so that's what. Yeah.
Please don't try to Google. You're going to shut us down
but
in a
demon,
second.
Demon sounds and cleaved oxen aside. It was a fun way to spend summers.
Have
I
you lost your
lucky.
Taste for fresh oxen meat after that?
How could you? I mean,
it was 1994, so, you know, was it? I don't even remember.
I can look that up too.
A lot of stuff happens in Beaufort.
Okay, I'm looking
at. Talk of what state? What happens in Beaufort?
Oh my gosh!
What happens in Beaufort?
EA, you'd be surprised to know.
Yes.
That your IMDb. I'm on it right now.
Oh jeez.
Look at
it. Of course, we have Bored Girl and Dress Up, School Bus Girl.
Yes.
And we also have Beyond the Marquee. Popeye's Village.
Oh my God. All right.
I didn't do that.
Let's do some backstory.
I didn't do that.
That's amazing. I didn't know anyone had recognized me from a video that John shot while we were on a couples retreat. That's why we were there, right? Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
couples cute. Retreat with Merton Hanks and an actor named Michael Chernus.
Michael Chernus. So we went to this Popeye Village. On this exotic island of Malta,
which I'm actually very fond of.
Yes.
If anyone should go to Malta.
It's in your blog.
Go to Chicago. Yes, I talk about Malta a lot.
Impudent Ways.
Yes.
Is it .org? /org?
.blogspot.com.
.blogspot.com/awesome. Let's talk about Popeye Village for a minute.
Popeye Village.
This is really interesting. I've always wanted to go there. When I was a kid... Popeye was always on HBO. I loved Popeye.
Yeah. My favorite Altman movie.
We have 20 minutes. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a 21-minute story.
Yeah.
Sorry, EA. So we went to Popeyeville. I dragged EA and a couple other people to go, the other couple. And the village is still there. The village where they shot
the set.
Popeye.
So amazing.
It's a village.
Oh, excuse me.
No, it was a set, but now I think it's a village. I call it a village because I don't know why.
Because it takes a village.
I shot you down there.
Sweet Haven.
Oh, Sweet Haven.
Now, that movie is a classic. Now,
no, it's not, John. It's not.
It's a classic.
It's not at all. It's a classic for you.
I'll fight
poster,
you on this.
John?
I do have the poster. It's not hanging up.
It's on the easel.
Easel. I do have an easel.
In the kitchen.
Whatever's playing in John Donahue's.
Okay. Anyway, if you go to Malta, they have a really great... Hey, Mindy, hello. You want to go to Malta?
No.
Oh, you're cutting it out. Mindy's in the booth.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead, Mindy.
I don't know what that is, Malta.
Malta is an island that is in between the northern coast of Africa... Usually Libya.
They eat a lot of spinach.
You've never been?
And south of Sicily.
Oh.
And it's a small island that has been pretty much run by everyone from the Brits to the French to the Knights of Malta, which is like Diet Knights Templar.
I've played a Knights of Malta.
To their Johnny Depp, as it were.
That's how me and John met.
We do have a caller.
Oh.
Is this somebody from Malta? Caller?
Popeye.
Are you calling from Malta, caller? Caller, are you still there?
Is this the sex show?
Hello.
Are they still there? Hello.
Yes,
hello. You're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air. What's your name?
Oh, Joseph. That's cool. All right, man. Thank you very much.
Okay, Joseph. Let's hear it for Joseph.
Thanks, Joe.
That by far is the highlight of the night, folks.
Now, Peter, I think that was your pizza.
That might have to go down there.
He's down here
from
now.
Malta.
You know I can't afford
Malta
pizza.
Malta has a really good pizza, by the way. In Malta, go to eat the pizza at Chicago's.
Was that where we went?
Chicago's.
No, we went to a restaurant called Trabushu, which is Maltese for corkscrew.
Huh.
Interesting.
There's a Maltese language.
I wrote that down.
You know,
You can't even spell corkscrew.
So we should finish the story. We should.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Where were we?
So
last caller threw me off.
That was great.
The Popeye's Village is still on the island of Malta. They've preserved it. They've fancied it up even a little. They've tried to change it into kind of like a thing to do there.
Like a tourist spot.
Yes, a tourist spot.
It's a theme park.
Yes. And inside of Popeye's Village, it wasn't enough to just have Popeye's Village. They've had Santa's Workshop, broken collection of horrifying old man automatons who...
Sounds like Westworld.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not my show. No. Why am I explaining this, John?
I mean, this is John's, like...
I hit my head. I was still laughing so hard.
And we went, and we thought it... John was like, no, guys, we're going to go. We're going to go. I've got my...
Before he went, he was so excited.
I was excited about Popeye's Village more than anything in the world.
He wore a Popeye shirt to Popeye's Village.
Did he get a tattoo? Like the...
I don't know. That was
Stephanie,
you're talking.
There
we go.
Or it could have been a naval ship.
If you'd like to call in randomly and hang up, 1-800-893-9562.
Call us.
Popeye's Village was awesome, and they have actually animals in cages. I'm not talking lions and tigers. I'm talking mice.
Like broken-hearted mice. Yeah. Mice saying it was bad enough being a mouse. A mouse? A mouse.
Meese.
Bad enough being born a mouse.
I don't
now
really
I'm a mouse in a cage at Popeye's Village in Malta.
Gerbils, hamsters, like that was their collection of a petting zoo for their petting zoo.
Wow.
That was it. But you couldn't pet them. They were in a cage.
No, you just looked at them.
Yeah.
It was the strangest afternoon. It was also because I panicked and like downed half a bottle of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Supposedly for a bit, but then I actually got drunk.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
That's the usual.
And then I'm very fair, so I tried to put SPF 95 on my face and got approximately half a bottle in my eyes, which meant that my eyes started to water.
Michael Chernus led you out.
Yes,
or
because
led you
I was
out.
Blinded, so I was literally tipsy and blind.
Nothing
which
worse.
Made the experience of Satan's Village. Where were we? I don't even know.
Listen, I knew it was going to be cheesy. That's why I wanted to go. And on top of that, I love the film.
So you find you enjoy cheese.
Yes.
Oh, he loves it.
I love cheesy stuff. Anything 80s, cheesy horror movies, cheesy late night comedies, whatever. I'm all over that, all that stuff. And that's why Popeye to me.
I was hoping we were going to talk about cheese, like Swiss, cheddar.
Yeah. You're this is coming from the man whose dinner is two bear claws two bear and a Coke.
You say that like it's a bad
thing. Yeah, well, 25 pounds down. That's
now,
my diet.
EA.
We love you just the way you are.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Yes. Thanks.
My gosh, yeah. Hold on. I've run out of things to talk about. Well, huh? That's it, everybody.
Thanks, John.
Hey, it's about time we got our show.
Hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman are back together again.
Are we really going topical?
They were, that's a horrible segue, but they had broken up and I was very upset. And I wrote that down as a side note.
You were thinking, you know, I'll have a great opinion about this.
No, that's it.
Yeah,
that was it. Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, that's
Elizabeth,
yeah.
Do you have any questions for us?
All right. Yes, I do. Where are we? What is happening? Why is it happening? How?
Yeah, listen. These usually go smoother. But I would like to talk to you about somebody. You're a wonderful writer. I love your blog.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying that because I'm your friend. I've read your stuff. I've seen your stuff. You're funny.
Oh, thank you.
I watched your video today. The blog of you answering questions. You play the video and you
do. Yes, occasionally people can send me questions. And they're like, how do I make the perfect burrito?
And you answer them on a video.
I try. That's why, awesome. You know, when someone says, what do you think about Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman get back together? I'm ready.
Listen, I thought I was going to go somewhere. I thought that Cardinal Coogan was going to go somewhere. It's
all good.
It's crumbling around
material.
Me.
It's all copy.
All right. John.
As Nora Ephron's mother told her, it's
I was
all
getting
coffee.
To that. Nora
That's
Ephron.
That's called a segue, listeners.
Okay, I wanted to segue. I said about
John
your
is
blog.
Doing a wonderful job.
John's fired. You're on.
Can we just go? If we're gonna get on that,
great
subject,
job.
Can we?
Thank you, Mindy,
for saving
to hear
us.
That.
Yeah, we did.
Oh my gosh.
She just got excited because when you said talked about Nora, she just wanted to get right into deep.
No, no, no. We. And, I wanted to
start talking about that. That's why Mindy got it. She's just like, wait a minute.
The legacy of Nora.
Horrible.
You're shaking me off. What?
I don't know what you just said. EA,
yes.
You're
John
a wonderful writer.
Yes.
You're a wonderful writer. Now, yes. Nora Ephron.
Yes.
Wonderful writer herself.
Yes, she was.
Director.
Yes.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes.
You've Got Mail.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is one of my favorite romantic comedies, which I want to talk to you about in a second here. But
yes.
You've mentioned that Nora Ephron, who passed away sadly last year, was one of your influences, one of your mentors.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, people I've been fortunate to be on a lot of movie sets and been even more fortunate to meet the people who work on them, people like Danny Strepek and Nora. I was 10 years old and I was sitting on a bench on a houseboat in Seattle for that movie that takes place in Seattle. I can't remember what it's called.
Not sure.
No.
No.
Man with the One Red Shoe?
Yes. Yes.
Bachelor Party? He Knows You're Alone? Maces and Monsters?
He Knows You're Alone.
Yeah, Turner and Hooch? I can't remember.
Gosh. Wow.
Bosom Buddies.
And I was sitting on a bench, and I was looking down at my thighs, and I swear to you, I was 10 years old and thinking, oh, my thighs are fat. And Nora, I wish I would, that wasn't what I was thinking, but that's what
child.
I was thinking.
That's what
and,
I think.
Broke my heart.
And Nora came up to me, and she just said, oh, that's just because you're sitting down. Everyone's thighs flare when you sit down. Stand up.
You should see
you
Stephanie's.
Look lovely.
My God.
That is actually that's a great anecdote.
I thought that
that's
was another
great,
chair.
Yeah. And I had, by the way, I hasten to add, I had no idea who she was. I was like, what a nice lady to say that about my thighs.
That's a great moment.
Yeah.
But you grew to know her.
Yeah, she became very much a mentor to me, and she read everything that I wrote, and but she's been a great mentor to a lot of women. I know that she's been really important to Lena Dunham, and her son Jacob is a really talented writer who just wrote a really lovely piece about her in the Times, called her Nora's Final Act, and her other son Max is Kesha's guitar player.
Oh,
really?
Good snap.
Yeah, he's extremely talented as well. It's That's a talented great. Bunch over there.
I like her.
I miss her desperately.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I met her briefly. I worked a couple of days on Bewitched.
Really?
Oh. I actually was a stand-in on Bewitched for Will Ferrell.
Lucky
really?
You.
That's
and
funny.
Just watching her work and everything was awesome because I was such a big fan.
Pretty fascinating to watch her work.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Think?
Yeah. Like everything was so planned out and just exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just myself personally was honored to have been in her presence.
I think everyone felt like that. None of these assholes who are here because you never met her. But,
the rest of us.
Well,
people,
I stalked her for a while.
Stephanie.
I had a brief stalking period.
I feel like through this. I know her.
which brings me to romantic comedies. Now, we just don't see those kinds of romantic comedies
Yeah, I think when Nora passed, everyone was saying, you know, she was the person who was making great romance. I think the best romantic comedy is You've Got Mail. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great film.
I love that movie.
But
you know what I love about the movie? Yeah. He shuts her bookstore down.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, he does.
It's not a nice movie.
Fox, F-O-X.
F-O-X. He shuts that book down.
Yep.
Shuts it down. I love how everyone says, oh, that movie's so twee. He shuts down her dead mom's bookstore. Cold-heartedly, doesn't apologize.
That's what I do.
He does it while wearing a polo.
That's what I did to my mom.
Son of a bitch.
It was, you know what I loved?
That's my grandmother you're talking about. Thank you.
Popeye. It was Popeye.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Back there.
That's called a callback.
I loved it. Speaking of calling, 1-800-893-9562. We have a few minutes left.
Come on, Twitter followers.
Come on, everybody.
Come
you know
on.
What happens? It's a Saturday night.
Yes.
People are partying.
It's
St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Guys, okay. We have 9 minutes left, but this is so much fun. Let's just keep going.
We're going. Hey, listen to this.
Yes.
I don't know if is it okay to keep going with the same topic?
Yes.
Of course it is.
In the bookstore.
Only if it's Danny DeVito.
Only.
Sorry. In the bookstore where I used to work, yes.
Did you used to work at that? Was that a set?
Oh, no. I thought you meant the one. went to an even further callback to the bookstore where I worked downtown.
You can call back to last week's show, see
anymore.
If I remember that.
In the bookstore in You've Got Mail, yes.
No, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay, because I'm not actually in that movie.
So there's no point to talk about
you're,
it any
you're a depressed
further.
Girl in a children's section. Pop-up book, depressed girl. thighs flaring, depressed thighs, pop-up girl.
Fat thigh girl, pop-up book section.
That was Robert's nickname in high school.
It was.
You know who's a featured extra in, or I guess he's not an extra because he has a line, is, he's not... Mark Ruffalo, he looks like him, and he's on the Mindy Project. And I know his name. Chris Messina.
Oh.
Chris Messina plays the children's book clerk in the Fox bookstore.
Oh, does he have a line?
Yeah, he does.
Bastard.
Someone asked him about, you know, I'm looking for a children's book about shoes. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I work at a chain store. No. And Meg Ryan goes, it's called Ballet Shoes.
That was pretty good, Meg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what my line was in Cloud
Atlas? That's more her from In the Cut.
It was
excuse me.
You know what my line was in Cut? What was your line in Holes, right? Oh, you had a bunch of them.
I had a bunch of lines.
I had an In the Cut trivia question the other night in a bar.
Did you?
First Meg Ryan full nude scene.
Oh, Peter.
I like that.
Come on.
Speaking of Mark Ruffalo.
True thing.
Pervert.
So
Mark Ruffalo
is
in that movie.
Yeah, he's full frontal.
Not full nude.
Peter really liked it.
That's the only reason.
You and I could watch that movie together for
that was the
really
reason
different
I
reasons.
The movie Bronson.
Excuse me, Peter would be wearing 3D glasses. That would be the only difference. This movie's not in 3D. Yes, it is.
Did you see the movie Bronson? I finally watched that.
Death Wish, which one?
Ooh.
Oh, I love
flopping
Tom
around
Hardy.
Naked.
Wow.
For a good 20 minutes. Bronson.
These are
I
not
only
based
find
on
him attractive
the
as Bane.
Is these are not romantic
Lawless?
Comedy.
Did you see Lawless?
Like the mask.
Does he wear a face mask in a Burberry shearling coat? Because it's really, I guess it's the coat.
Settle down over there.
He wears a cardigan, actually.
By the way, for our listeners who are not calling tonight, those are not romantic comedies.
No.
Lawless
is excellent.
Another one of my favorite romantic
Bronson
comedies.
Is. Yes. If you watch Bronson, that
see,
is a
if
definite
I'm
love
going
story.
To. Stop at Redbox tonight.
Yeah, you.
Wow, she's still talking.
It's a total chick flick. You're gonna love
she's
it.
Unchained.
For those of you listening out there, and know Bronson. You will
forget Django.
I
Stephanie
love
Unchained.
Let's go around the room really quick. We have a few minutes left. We have a few. Is six.
Yeah. We have a lot of minutes.
I hope you have a lot to plug.
Yeah. But I want to hear how I can support the awesome people in this room. Websites and things can I visit on your behalf?
Oh, EA was going to die. That was my last 3 minutes.
Oh, I thought you were segueing into that.
That's way too soon.
So Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman have gotten back together. Hey, Mindy, would you shut off Stephanie's mic? Hey, Robert, yes. What's your favorite romantic comedy? And don't say Halls because you're not in that.
I'm not a big romantic comedy person.
Blank Check.
Blank Check.
Dunstan checks in.
Robert is in that. He's got a lot of hair.
Xanadu.
Richie Rich.
True. Richie Rich. That's a good one.
The Last Unicorn.
Yep, that's the one. The last Airbender.
These are all in Robert's queue.
Airbud. I like that.
Which one though?
So true.
Because the second one is definitely just got a lucky heart.
It's a hard call.
Mine is Stroker Ace.
Stroker Ace.
Wow, Peter. What's your favorite? I'm afraid to ask, Peter. Peter, just name a movie, any movie, and we'll move on. Name a color. I don't care.
I would probably go Marnie. For sure, Marnie. Hitchcock's Marnie.
Oh, that's a great one.
No. I've never laughed harder when
Peter,
I saw Marnie.
Peter, do you cry when you watch movies? And if you do, other than,
My Girl.
My Girl.
My Girl.
Oh, that's a good one.
He needs his glasses.
Every time.
He needs his glasses. Crying. You know how he dies? Call back Bee Stings.
Bee Stings.
Bee Stings.
I didn't even realize I was doing that. And there it is.
You did.
Bee Stings.
That's a great one.
EA Hanks. At EA Hanks, what is your favorite?
I know it's weird because it's Merton. But I really do love You've Got Mail.
Wait, okay, I do too. And I was going to say that, but I didn't want to sound weird, but my favorite really is Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh,
that's a good one.
I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Oh, my God, we should come back next week. We'll watch and do commentary.
That would be
that's
funny.
One of my all-time favorites. Mindy, what's your favorite romantic comedy?
Half-baked.
Oh, man, why you gotta ask me these questions? Little Mermaid? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, you could have just said Little Mermaid. No.
It's hilarious how her mom is dead, huh?
Yes.
No, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that's true.
They all
and
have
she's ripped
dead
away
moms.
From her family.
They do.
So funny.
They do.
It's hilarious.
Do. Stephanie, what's your favorite romantic comedy?
I probably would have to go with Machete. It's my favorite romantic comedy. That Danny Trejo is so funny and sexy.
That'll never get old.
Never get old.
At least for me.
It's brand new for me.
You didn't listen to the show
missed
one.
It. You missed
show one.
Mindy, would you open Stephanie's mic now? Stephanie, what's your favorite romantic comedy?
I love
A Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
And
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes
Yes.
Princess Bride, I just recently rewatched, and it holds up. It's
most
so
quotable
funny.
Movie.
It's
most so quotable
awesome.
Movie.
It's awesome.
It's really it funny. Right. He's dreamy in that, and she's gorgeous.
Wallace Shaw?
Yes.
Hey, we can't take any more calls right now.
Because
we have a few minutes left.
No. Sorry, callers.
Is there really a caller?
No.
By the way,
you know what, EA? Yes.
Isn't that sweet how I thought there was a
many.
Caller?
We're lined excited. Up.
Isn't that adorable of me?
Hi, this is Frank from New Bedford. EA.
Yes.
I love your shit.
That video was private.
Almost that was out.
All right, we got
Lawrence Fishburne's daughter and you.
We got 2 minutes left. Let's start plugging away. Robert from Universal Studios Hollywood and Not Holes.
Not
what do you want to say?
Doing my film again, still Suburbank, and my web series. Well, I'll be in a web series, Wand Wars.
What is it? Raw Wars?
Wand Wars.
What is
Wand?
That? Like a Harry Potter
it's,
porn?
It's a web series about magicians that are going against each other for, you know.
And who do you play? Voldemort?
I'm actually in an episode where two magicians are going to take two non-magicians and try to teach them.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
Peter, what do you want to promote?
Hey, this Thursday night. You
oh my
can
gosh,
catch
you actually
me.
Have something. Hurry up.
Yeah, exactly. This Thursday night, you can catch me in Scandals as a grip.
Jeez. All right. Ooh. Got a job. Good for you, buddy. EA, let's talk.
EA Hanks.
I was going to let you do that, but I'll do it. At EA Hanks.
At EA Hanks. You can read my pointless nothings.
No, they are awesome.
Oh, no, I thanks. Actually want to say, because I looked
you
over
better hurry
it for
up
the first
say it.
Time.
Oh, dude.
For the
yes.
first time.
Yes.
We must love Wastefully.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Yes. I thought that was...
Oh, that's great. We all read your book.
I was looking through that and I saw that one line. And I actually really, really dug that last few little paragraph you had. Check out that blog.
Some really good stuff.
Not the funniest thing I've written. You know what I find fascinating about that? Is that Peter can read.
It is amazing.
Stephanie, what can we do for you?
Yeah.
Gorski vodka.
Oh, there we go.
249.
John, what about you?
Oh, my God. I have a list here.
Did you see 1600 Penn? Check it out.
1600 Penn.
Did you watch it, Johnny?
My episode aired. It's one line, but hey, I got to
think
about
it. But it was a hell of a
line. I swear he was the funniest line in the show.
Thank you, Steph.
That's mustache on television.
It's on NBC.com. You can watch that right now on your computers right after you're done listening to the show in 35 seconds.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, my God. At EA Hanks, this has been an honor and a pleasure. Please give our best to Merton.
I will.
Yes. I hope he's recovering.
He doesn't know who any of you are.
A lot of concussions from the old days of football.
Oh, I would like to mention next week we got another special guest.
Not as good as me.
Micah Rowland will be here. No one is good as me.
Not even close.
Micah Rowland from Bloody Disgusting and Poster Collective will be here. And Keith Coogan, good luck with the Pope.
We miss you.
Thanks, Keith.
You're attractive.
And Mindy, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, but of course.
See you, everybody.